I was telling you about Nomcobo Jiba a short time ago. Well, the suspended deputy head of public prosecutions has finally broken her silence, speaking up in her own defense at the Mokgoro inquiry that's looking into hers and Lawrence Mugwebe's fitness to hold office. The pair have been criticized, you'll remember, over the years for their handling of issues, including the prosecution of the former crime intelligence head, Richard Ngluli. Their names have also come up in allegations of inappropriate handling of charges against former KwaZulu-Natal Hawks boss, Johan Boysen. That's in relation to the alleged Cato Manor death squad. Jiba, speaking of the inquiry in Pretoria, in fact, I'm looking at her now on one of the screens that we have here in studio. Someone who's in the room, or who was in the room until a short time ago, is Ida and senior reporter Barry Bateman. He joins us now by phone from the capital. Good afternoon to you, Barry. So Nomcobo Jiba feels liberated by the inquiry and that she's a person of integrity. What else has you been saying?
Yeah, good afternoon, Tembikita. Well, it is quite dramatic. We had an opening address from Nomcobo Jiba. She's using this opportunity, she says, to finally have her say. Over the years, she's taken legal advice, and while she's been criticized in the media and on all sorts of other platforms, she has kept her silence on the advice of her legal advisor. She says she trusts the people that are here to judge her and to listen to her side and all the other allegations made against her. And she's going to use this opportunity to finally speak openly about the National Prosecuting Authority. Well, after that address, she was then led through the evidence, and we started off going back to 2007, and that was her involvement in the investigation of then-prosecutor Prosecutor Fanny Nell in the Jackie Salidi matter. And she says that she was introduced to Richard Ngluli by the head of the NPA's Integrity Management Unit, and it was part of a legitimate investigation which was taking place at that time, and she had no reason not to cooperate. So she's made it that it was a very normal thing that she had to do, and there was nothing untoward it. She's also terrified that she does not know Richard Ngluli. She doesn't know him beyond the fact that he was a policeman at the time, and that she has no relationship with him. We went on to, of course, the Johan Boysen matter and the racketeering authorization that she's been criticized for. She says, based on the evidence that was presented to her, she was satisfied that it was indeed a case for him to answer to. Now, it got to the point she wanted to present evidence to the commission, but she said it was too graphic, and she asked permission whether she should be allowed to do this. She spoke about how people were brutally killed by these police officers. It wasn't clear what the graphic nature of the pictures had to do with the actual authorization of the racketeering.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Mkhoro ultimately saying that she doesn't need to do so. But you know, the gist of it is that she believes she acted correctly and the prosecution or the racketeering charges against Boysen were legitimate.
Let's talk about the allegations against her for a moment, because in her opening remarks there, Jiba painted herself as a woman who feels let down by some of her current and former colleagues, one of them being Willie Hofmeyr, who made quite a few allegations against her when he appeared at the inquiry last week. Take us through what Willie Hofmeyr accused Jiba of and how she's addressed that particular part of the evidence we've heard, because she's even gone as far as suggesting that patriarchy and possibly racism played a role in his less than flattering view of her.
Yeah, and it wasn't just Hofmeyr, it was Breitenbach as well. And it had to do with her ascendancy to that position of acting National Director of Public Prosecutions in 2011. Hofmeyr telling this inquiry that he felt she was inexperienced, that she didn't have the skills and the expertise to hold that senior position. Well, she's saying here, firstly, she was deeply hurt by this feeling that these people had about her taking that position. And she does believe that there was this resentment towards an African woman being put into this position of authority, and somebody like Hofmeyr would have to take orders or instructions from or report to an African woman. So they're very clear suggestions of the patriarchy and racism. But, you know, on the acting, what Hofmeyr, he went further, and he suggested that the Jiba was using the National Prosecuting Authority to settle political scores, that there was these prosecutions of people like Pravin Gordhan, Johan Boysen, Anwar Dramat, and so on. She's gone into the details of those, and she says that all the decisions were made based on the facts, and in some of them, such as the Gordhan matter, she played no role in that particular decision to prosecute because at the time she was on special leave. So she certainly feels very aggrieved. She feels betrayed. On that decision, on that feeling of betrayal, it has to do with her being prosecuted herself for that decision of authorizing racketeering against Boysen. She said she couldn't believe how the tables had turned, and this organization had turned its back on her, and she was the one being prosecuted for just doing her job, while the people who ought to have been prosecuted, Boysen et al., they were being let free.
But A lot has been said, hasn't it, Barry, from Nomcobo Jiba, Willie Hofmeyer. Yesterday we heard from Lawrence Mkhwebi himself. We've also had the likes of Dennis Breitenbach. You've been on this story from the time of the first bits of allegations against Mkhwebi and Jiba. Looking at the inquiry from the beginning, how much of what we've heard is based in concrete evidence, and how much of it really is people giving us a sense of what they observed or opinion?
Well, you know, I think it's obviously a mix of that, but you cannot get away from the fact that there were certain findings made in courts of law, such as the Gorvan judgment in the High Court in Durban, which found against Jiba for her authorization of those racketeering charges. Now, the prosecution against her was based on Gorvan's findings. So we've got those elements. We do have the findings against her in the High Court, for example, in the Ngluli matter. And, of course, there's the General Counsel of the Bar matter, which, while it found against her and Lawrence Mkhwebi in the High Court, it was overturned at the SEA. But now we're going to the Constitutional Court. So, you know, there is a lot of, we can relate to the court findings, which are the objective findings against these individuals. But I think they've been bolstered by the personal opinions. Now, whatever Willie Hofmeyer might have thought about Jiba and Mkhwebi, that in itself wouldn't carry so much for weight. But when considered with those court findings, I think that is how this commission, or the inquiry rather, will assess the information. Of course, we haven't got the cross-examination yet. We're going to finish with Jiba today. Then tomorrow we're going to get to the cross-examination of Mkhwebi, and then onto the cross-examination of Jiba on Monday. And I think that's where we're really going to get to how credible their evidence is here. Their claims of acting without fear or favour and with integrity will be put to the test when they get cross-examined.
Do we expect then, Barry, that Jiba's colleagues, whom she says she felt betrayed by and undermined, will also be called back at some point to respond to what she said, or have they said their piece and it's all done now?
No, that's it. They're all done now. They won't be coming back. I mean, all the evidence has been led. Those that were called have been cross-examined as well. It's now into the last stretch. The inquiry, Mokoro has to submit her report to the president, I think it's by the 14th of next month.